Well, the determination of all the parties to come together and to make what were the necessary compromises to find a way forward, away from the violence of the past and away from all the turmoil and all the hardship and the suffering that people had, and to try and carve out a new map forward. And it was the fact that the parties were prepared to do that. It was painstaking, it was slow, it was a lot of negotiations, but the fact they were prepared to find this new way that was set out in the Good Friday Agreement and to carry it forward as they have now for 15 years.
And you played your own part in that, not just difficult negotiations, but I always remember the pictures of you returning to the negotiations, having attended your mother's funeral. It was that important to you?
Yeah, it was a difficult week, obviously, personally. But, I mean, George Mitchell had set the deadline. We were determined to try to conclude the negotiations. I have to say my mind was really fixed on that. I think there was no way you could stay away from it. I had to move back and forward, as you know, some people will remember now. But it was necessary to do that. I think we had gained a certain momentum. Those negotiations had started in September 1997, and you know they've gone on for the 7 months. And then, like any set of negotiations, there has to come a timeline for completion, success or failure. And as we came into that week, it was kind of a difficult. My mum had a heart attack on the Sunday and died on Monday morning, and it was just right at the start of that week. But you know, we had fixed, you know, the path that we had to follow, and I had to play my part in that. And you know, thankfully, everybody stuck at it, and even though it meant a few all-nighters and a tough week, we did get to the deadline that George Mitchell had set, or at least thereabouts. I think he had set midnight on the Thursday, and we concluded at 5 o'clock on the Friday.
What motivated you in such terrible personal circumstances? Was it just a real sense of hope?
Well, you know, I suppose I'd grown up, at least all my life, watching the troubles in the north and watching all of the hardships that emanate from such a protracted conflict. And you know, I'd got to know the individuals on all sides and all parties, and I think we had a collective sense of purpose that we have to get this thing through, at least make our very best effort, and if we failed, that we at least we have to say that we tried, and that we, you know, that we really gave our best shot. And in spite of my own circumstances, I felt that I was part of that, and I owed it to all of the people involved that we gave this our very best efforts. And thankfully, those best efforts, you know, got us to a position where at least we had an agreement. Okay, it took us a long time after that to May 2007 to implement it satisfactorily. But that week at least gave us the blueprint that we were able to work on from there on.
And were you aware, Bertie Ahern, when you were inside Castle Buildings and the hot housing and the protracted negotiations, intense negotiations, that you were making history?
Not really. To be honest, I think it was about the Friday lunchtime when it was getting to the end, and we were waiting to, you know, to see if everybody was going to come across the line. It was the first time kind of since Sunday that I had a chance of just, I went back over the calls, and on my mobile, I remember I went back over to have a shower, and I looked at the mobile, and people had been, you know, ringing me on the Thursday and the Friday, and I ran back to a few. And I was even kind of amazed to know the people, the programs had extended on the Thursday night on TV into the early hours of the morning. And it kind of dawned me that the outside world were watching, that we weren't just here in a vacuum ourselves working away. And it was really only then that I realised, well, you know, this was being watched outside, and it was something big. And up until that, I was just concentrating and see if we could get across the line, if we could carry everybody with us, if we could hold as many as we could. And if we could make a history, but I wasn't really conscious of it during all the negotiations.
It's true to say that the world did have an eye on castle buildings, but it wasn't just the world. There were those who were opposing it. There was Ian Paisley and his supporters marching up that Thursday night. Were you aware of the spectre, I suppose, of Ian Paisley outside, who, if you remember back to previous agreements and the Loyalist workers' strike, he held a lot of power?
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt about that. And, you know, I remembered the workers' strike and, of course, the arguments in the Anglo-Irish agreement in 85. And, you know, so I was, and my window, I remember during the negotiations, the castle buildings were open, and I remember listening to the chanting and the shouting outside. And I was very conscious that, you know, ultimately, if we were to get everything together, there was some way we had to find of dealing with the Democratic Unionist Party.
You paint a very vivid picture there of having the windows in your office open at castle buildings and hearing the chanting coming from Dr. Paisley and his supporters. Did you ever think in a million years that he would then end up as First Minister sitting alongside Martin McGuinness as Deputy First Minister?
I don't think I did. Not that week, certainly. I don't think I ever thought he'd shake hands to me at that stage, and that took long enough. But you know, we got to that stage, and I must say, you know, we ended up good friends, and Baroness Eileen, and you know, in the end of it, I suppose I built up a lot of good friends, and not just on the Nationalist Republican side. I was there in those meetings with Tony Blair and Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley. You know, when we were discussing the future and we were discussing the real bread and butter issues of politics, and that politicians all over the world have to deal with issues of education and health and local authority issues, and you know, they were the issues that I always dreamed that I would see northern politicians dealing with. Away from us dealing with conflict and strife. It was a great moment, I think, when we could see ourselves just dealing with the peaceful peacetime initiatives and dealing with the real issues.
Do you think that since all that work was done and the agreement then was implemented over the years, do you think that the politicians in Northern Ireland have delivered on the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement, or do you think more needs to be done?
Well, in politics, in every country in the world and every part of the world, there's always more to be done. I think that's the inevitable bit about the world of politics, and in a democratic system, elections are fought always, and people setting out manifestos and objectives of what they want to do next. But as the basis of an agreement to deal with the issues that we had to, I think politicians of all sides have done remarkably well. I think people, I always felt in negotiations that, you know, the nationalist Republicans, the unionists, the loyalists, of all shades and all colours and all differences, that they were very good people. I think they had a good sense of community, they had a good sense of spirit. And I always felt if we could get people talking together and get people around the table together and try and break down the barriers of distrust and not in any way underestimating all of the things that had happened in the past because they were terrible, that they would genuinely work. And they did, and they have. And, you know, I salute all of those men and women who worked very hard to do that. I think they've been courageous people, and I think they honoured what we achieved in that week collectively, and I think they've done it well.
The difficulty, I suppose, is that we aren't quite over the line yet, in the sense that there was the murder of David Black before Christmas, the flag protests that brought Belfast to a standstill, essentially. Can more be done?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not as up to date as I used to be on what the level of that threat is, and you know, it wasn't long after the signing of the Good Friday Agreement that we had the probably the worst atrocity of all times in the Yoma bombings, and after a long, long conflict that really has gone on for hundreds of years, you're going to get some, you're going to get some problems, and I think people just have to keep on working to eliminate them, or at least eliminate them as far as they possibly can.
Do you look back on it, Bertie Ahern, as your greatest achievement in politics?
Yeah, I think, listen, dealing with life and death issues, and dealing with trying to end the, you you know, a conflict that had such horrendous, unfortunate outcomes in deaths and injuries. It was a huge issue to be involved in, and it was one I was privileged to be involved in. And you know, you can watch it from a distance now and just hope that, you know, continued progress will be made, and to wish all the current politicians who have the responsibilities, and the security forces who have the responsibility for moving things forward, to wish them well, and to hope that people, you know, who don't always agree with everything in it would look to the road of democracy and to try and argue out their case in democratic ways, because ultimately, as we know all over the world, it's the only way of dealing with issues.
Was it difficult for you to put forward the concessions that the Irish government made under the Good Friday Agreement, Articles 2 and 3?
It was at the time, Lisa. I mean, that was a big issue. It was held dearly, you know, by generations of people in the Republic. But you know, the British government were prepared to move, we have to move the principle of consent, where people in Northern Ireland, men and women in the future generations in Northern Ireland, would make the decisions to affect themselves. That was a big concession, and it was worth making. And I think everybody had to make, you know, steps forward and hold a hand of friendship out. And of course, I remember days in the run-up to those negotiations where nobody seemed to be talking to anybody. And I remember, you know, sitting down with Mo Molan halfway through the night and just wondering, as we looked through the lists of things that people still had problems with, would we ever get to the end of those? But, you know, I think goodwill on all sides and people prepared to listen. And, you know, when I look back and think of all the political leaders then, dealing with John Hume and Seamus Mallon, and dealing with Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness and Monica McWilliams and the Alliance Party, and everybody was prepared. And of course, the PUP, the late Davy Irvine, who in my mind was a great man, and the UDP, Gary McMichael, and, you know, they were all prepared to work together. And we had our differences, we had our views on each other, but people were prepared to move forward, and they did.
Do you miss those days of really high-stakes politics?
Well, sometimes you do, and most times you don't. I think there were good times, but there were trying and testing times. It was 7 days a week. It was early morning to late night, and I spent, you know, the 40 years of my life at it, and 34 of those elected, so it was never boring.
Finally, and thank you for joining us this morning, Bertie Ahern, but just a point on a border poll. It's something Sinn Féin have been talking about for a while now. Is that something you would welcome, or do you think it's too soon?
Well, you know, it's in the agreement, and I remember we put it into agreement. I was very wedded to doing it, but I don't want to be saying anything about the current times, but you know, I did say a number of times in the past that I thought the time would come for that to happen, and that, you know, we needed a prolonged period of progress and peace for that to happen. Others have to call that now, and you know, someday it'll happen, but I think there's probably a lot of other things need to be well and truly signed off before that happens. I'm not too sure this is the time.
Bertie Ahern, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lisa.